Welcome to Ball Don't Lie Australia. We have a very special episode up for you today. We're very lucky and fortunate to interview the one and only former Boomer, current Brisbane Bullets and Gold Coast Roller superstar, Jason Kadee.
What a man.
Oh, yeah. Just like Isaac White last week. What a dude.
Yep.
It's so great to talk to. We really appreciate having Jason's time, and we hope that the story he tells through our prompting, I guess, we hope, you know, you learn something about Jason or things you didn't know earlier. And yeah, we're really enjoying getting the stories of players, Australian based players out there. So, this was another one, and you know, if anyone out there listening knows anyone or you know has a connect for us to tell a basketball story about someone, please let us know, set us up. We'd love to be like to keep pumping these out.
Yeah, it's sharing basketball stories. It's not just our own, but and there are some amazing stories out there here in Australia that people haven't heard yet, and that's what we'd like to do with this. So yeah
and I mean, like, for example, with this episode, you know, you may know Jason Kadee, the Bullets player or the Boomer, but you know, did you know what type of underwear he wears? And do you know the players that he played with and against at the Nike Hoop Summit? These are things you're going to learn in this episode and all of our episodes where we're interviewing current and former players. So
his favorite Michael Bay film. I mean, hard hitting stuff.
So we hope you enjoy the interview, and please give us any feedback, ask us any follow-up questions, and we'll get to it in our next week's show.
Ball don't lie.
All right, Ball Don't Lie Australia listeners, we have a very special guest for you this week. Current Brisbane Bullet and Gold Coast Rollers star, Jason Kadee. Thanks for joining us, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, always. So we're just going to talk to you on the show today about your basketball journey, which is something we've been focusing on with our guests, just trying to tell your whole story and get it out there to the world.
Feel free to ask anything. No holds barred, eh?
Oh, nice.
Love it.
All right, mate. Well, let's head back to your time in Sydney. You were growing up just outside Sydney, representing the Bankstown Bruins. What are some of your most memorable moments with your junior club?
I had a lot. I was very fortunate to win a lot through having good teams, I guess, too. But it was like, I guess, I see a lot of junior clubs now and a lot of kids switch associations and do things like that, where growing up, for me, I was lucky. I had almost the same teammates top age and then go bottom age, same teammates. A few changes here and there, but a lot of it was so similar that I think through that development, it made my basketball way more enjoyable / I had to learn how to find ways to win and then develop such great friendships over the years that I've still got with a lot of people, whether it's all the time or just when I see them.
Yeah, I certainly never got to your level, but I had the joy of playing the same guys, top age and bottom age, all the way up. And yeah, it feels so much tighter. Like when you get to the end,
it's a different feel, guys.
Yeah,
it's a different feel. And like, I think the thing is, too, like there were some guys I played with every year, top age, 12s, 14s, 16s, 18s. And then even a few of the senior games as well. And then the same thing, bottom age. Yeah, there was definitely a couple of guys that maybe didn't make it 1 year, or some kids' parents moved into near Bankstown or near there, so they came across and played for us and they made it. But a lot of the time it was the same group. And I just felt like, especially my bottom age years, we didn't win. We were close, kind of around the mark. And then 18's bottom age, we actually lost in the grand final but won the state championships. And it was just one of those things with group of mates, you get to win it. It just had that feel as what you just said. Like, we just have played for however many bottom age years now, we finally did it. It just had a different feel than what I think it would if you changed clubs and did stuff like that. Because yeah, you had that bond and friendship growing up.
Yeah, definitely. So your parents obviously both played for Opals and Boomers respectively. Did they have a large impact on you choosing basketball? Or was it one of those things that you just wanted to do what they did, or how'd that go down?
No, they didn't really. I just kind of gravitated. I actually didn't really like basketball at the start when I was younger. I from all reports, Dad would take me down to learn to play and I just didn't want to be there. Would pack up shop and get out of there. And I loved playing soccer and doing athletics and things like that. So I was a bit of a sports kid in terms of I loved doing a lot of things, but basketball wasn't really it. But funnily enough, as I speak about a lot of things with you guys, it was friendship that kind of got me going with basketball, because we were down there one day and my dad used to run around the Masters on a Saturday morning when Bankstown Lots Comp was on, and one of my good mates, family friend, needed a player, so they asked me, and Dad walks out and here I am playing in under-10s with Dad was like, well, bloody hell, that's what it took. So it took a bit of time, but I would say once I kind of chose basketball, definitely Dad more than Mum. Mum sat back a little bit with it, but he drove it as much as I wanted to drive it. If I didn't want to do it, then he wasn't pushing me to do it. It was up to me to kind of, if I wanted to go shoot, I had to ask. It wasn't him saying, let's go shoot, mate.
Cool. No, that's...
Yeah. It just kind of, without telling his whole life story, I spent a few years living in the same street as Mitch McCarron, and it kind of reminds me of a similar dynamic between he and his parents, both obviously playing for Australia as well. And it's the same thing, like, you know, it wouldn't be basketball all the time, and Mum and Dad certainly didn't push Mitch to be playing basketball constantly, but he just hit that certain age and drive where he just knew, I could make something of this, and then he was never seen outside of a basketball court again, so...
Yeah, I think it does get a bit like that, and it becomes sometimes too, like, if your mates are all doing it, then you kind of like, oh, well, if I go down the stadium today, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah is there, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, awesome. So you find yourself, I guess, gravitating towards it. Plus, I mean, I know for me, and I'm sure it was for Macca as well, you also notice you're somewhat decent at it, and that kind of always helps as a kid when you know you're pretty good at something to keep doing it.
Yeah, and I thought I was really decent because I'd always beat him one-on-one, but I'm also 4 or 5 years older than him, so he was a lot smaller than me back then.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. At least you can tell him about it now.
We also haven't cross-checked that with anybody else yet. So.
No, just trust me, it happened.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, trust
I
me.
I believe you.
Makes one of us.
So after your junior time in Bankstown there, you actually – went off to the AIS, and who played in the Seabull at the time. During this time, you also participated in the Nike Hoop Summit back in 2010. I was just wondering through this time, if you can remember back, were there any notable players you played with or against, or just some moments that stand out to you to this day?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, that kind of, I think it was 12 to 16 months was a bit of a whirlwind. I hadn't had anything to do with the AIS or anything like that. And then I think it was 18's top age. I had a decent 18's bottom age, nationals. And then 18's top age is where everything kind of just, my rep season was somewhat ridiculous, put up some big numbers. I went to the nationals, led the scoring and assisted the nationals, and I think we won third. And so from there, it kind of, next minute I was going down the AIS for a tryout with, it was kind of like a half emus camp, half trial thing, where I got selected, and that's where everything changed for me. I think I learned very quickly what needs to be done to become a professional, and Marty Clark and Paul Goris, who were the coaches down there, were just, I've had a lot of people who had a lot of good things to do with my career, and I could go on forever listing names, but they were very big time in, I guess, turning a corner and me figuring out kind of the extra stuff I had to do, and sometimes you had to put in a bit harder work and things like that. And so down there, I went from the AIS to being in the EMU squad, to being in the Boomers squad, to going to the World Cup, to going away with the Boomers and playing at home with the Boomers, to then the Hoop Summit. So it was like, when I say to you, it was just like a whirlwind of stuff. It was like even worse. Like it was just not even worse, but even crazier in my mind. Now they look back on it, all those things happening at once. But it was eye-opening because I was around Paddy Mills, Joe Ingles, like those kind of guys with the boomer stuff, Brad Newley, who took me under his wing. Like I was around those kind of guys as teammates. And then I'm in Argentina watching Luis Scola play and Brazil with Barbosa and Verigao and all these kind of guys. So I'm like 17, 18, just sitting there going, wow, this is wild. And then that kind of led to the following year, about 5 months later, going to the Hoop Summit. And I was just, I didn't know anything about it. I knew Adam Gibson had been, I knew Paddy Mills had been. And so when I got there, I was in Portland. And I knew Paddy a little bit from him being back in Canberra at times and kind of working out with us at AIS. So he came and spoke to me a bit throughout the week, and just it was cameras, people everywhere at every training. And at the time, you just think I'm playing kids from the States and I'm with kids from around the world. But there was guys like Tristan Thompson, Nikola Mirotic, Corey Joseph on my side. And then there's the other team with Kyrie Irving, Harrison Barnes, Jared Salinger, the list, like Tobias Harris, I think. The list goes on. And so it was just, at the time, I didn't think anything of it other than a crazy event that I was lucky enough to be a part of. But now you look back and go, okay, that makes a lot of sense with some of the guys I had in that team at the time that were labelled the best US high school against the best of the world, they so call it. And it was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, that was a lot of names.
Yeah.
Yeah, some great players in that list. That's unreal. Yeah, what an experience that would have been.
No, it was awesome, especially at a young age. Just, I guess if I went to it now, if I went back and did it, I'd have a different appreciation for it. But at the time, as I said, there was so much happening. I was just a kid trying to figure it all out, where I fit in, and just enjoying it all for what it was.
Yeah, that's unreal. And then after all this, of course, you sign your first pro contract with the Blaze after your first stint with the Boomers there. Gold Coast Blaze, for those new listeners that don't know who I'm talking about, that was an NBL team. Unfortunately, not long after this, you're involved in a pretty bad car accident. Obviously, you walked away from it, but you broke your pelvis in the accident, which is a big setback at any stage of your career, let alone right at the very start when you're trying to establish yourself in the league. Do you, obviously you remember, but what was the rehab like, and you know, how long did it take for you to get back to game readiness at that time?
Yeah, once again, like all those experiences and things all going on, and then all of a sudden it just comes crashing down.
This was only a couple months after all that, right? This wasn't long.
So basically, I played in the Hoop Tournament in April.
Yeah.
I then, not long after that, because the Hoop Tournament brought on a lot of college things, not long after that, decided I was going to stay and play in the NBL and not do college, which then led to me signing with the Blaze. And then it was about, I want to say, two and a half months later, I was involved in the accident.
Oh, jeez.
And, yeah, it was like, in a way, I was lucky. I was only 18 at the time, so it kind of probably helped me recover because I was naive to the situation and how severe, I guess, an injury like that is. But basically, I had to learn how to walk, run, rebuild the middle of my body kind of thing again. I learned very quickly that everything you do goes through the middle of your body, so there's some things that I couldn't do well, and It kind of took away a lot from me because I lost a lot of weight, and I was a skinny kid as is, but that time at AIS, I'd kind of been doing weights and things like that. So I went from being able to just dunk the ball to being able to windmill leaving the AIS, things like that. Like I just, my athleticism and even though I was skinny, my body just grew so much at the AIS that then I had the accident, it kind of took that all away. And so I had to rebuild that whole thing. And so basically, taking slow steps at a time and doing that, they kind of said 10 to 12 months or 8 to 12 months. But I played Christmas that year, I think. So it was like 5.5 months after the accident I ended up playing, which was ridiculous. And I mean, a lot of the doctors, physios that I grew up with that were just like, how the hell did this happen? But it wasn't without struggle. Like I remember after my first game, I could barely walk out of the stadium. And I basically laid on the couch the whole next day because I was just struggling. So there was, it was a rough first season for me in terms of I wasn't just a kid out there playing basketball. I was dealing with a lot more than what your regular 18-year-old kid is, I guess.
Yeah, and look, it must be nice to be made of adamantium. I'm more made of chalk, so I don't know how that feels. But obviously, you would have lost a lot of your athleticism, which you were referring to. But for the casual viewer, or even Bullets and NBL fans, like, we see you on the court. We know you're a walking bucket, but after this injury and your comeback, did you feel any other parts of your game change? Like, was your jump shot different? Was your lateral quickness change? Like, what were some of the major changes in your game?
It was hard to say, to be honest, because I was so young and still, I guess, developing. I mean, you're always developing, but, like, things were still maturing with myself and whatnot. It probably just took away more than it gave. I think I came out the other side with just something I didn't have, if that makes sense. I just think I came back with basically, I had to figure it out again, and I had to figure it out in an environment where it wasn't like I was playing 18-year-old kids and figuring it out. I had to figure it out against men. And so it probably, if it did give me anything, it probably made me mentally a bit stronger and maybe even a little bit smarter, having to figure out how to get things done the way I could, in a different way to what I could before that. But I would say the biggest thing it took away, I just took away my athleticism. I just wasn't ever as athletic again. I had moments of it, but not like I was before. I wasn't even close to being that.
Yeah.
All right. With the, obviously the Olympics are on at the moment, and I know for me, every time the Olympics are on, or even anytime the Boomers are playing, I still have those deluded hoop dreams, and a lot of kids around Australia still, like, they look up to the Boomers as such idols, like I did when I was a kid. You've obviously played for the Boomers, and you won a gold at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. Can you just share a little bit of that? Like, how does that feel? What are some of the emotions? You've played basketball for all these different teams. Is it different playing for the Boomers, for us mere mortals who, unfortunately, I've come to the realization it's not going to happen.
Not without
it. It's the best. Not without actually, yeah. No, and it's the best. few contributors.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's like, I don't know, it's just bizarre how everyone can walk into a room and you've got multiple guys from different teams who have different roles, and some of them might be the man at their club. They get to shoot 30 shots a game and that's all they do and blah, blah, blah. But they can walk into that room and we're on the road somewhere, and it's just like with the Australian group, it's just like no one cares. We just figure it out and egos get checked at the door and we just do what's best for the group. And if it's someone's night, we feed it as much as we can. If it's someone else's, like, it's just an environment where you can have fun. It's like, it's probably actually what basketball is really supposed to be, in terms of like, bunch of good players just all playing for each other and all having fun doing it. And then the best thing about it is you get on those trips and just you get in that environment where you're used to being opposition and playing against each other and it can be competitive and fiery. But then you get on road trips and you get to play in basketball and you enjoy your time. Like, trips seem to go so quick with that group just because you're having so much fun. And that's not even just including the basketball. So it's, the Commonwealth Games was very different because it was at home. It was an experience I basically turned down money to do, so I didn't go overseas to do it. But I got exactly what I wanted out of it, which was a gold medal and a chance to play for Australia at home. And an experience I'll have with me forever, really.
And I think that as someone who's watched the Boomers since they were a kid, I think that really fits into that culture that people are willing to do that. Like, it's not a big financial thing. Like, people in Australia, genuinely basketball players, you just get this feeling that they just live for it. And
yeah, it's because of the environment. It's because, as I said, like, I love using the Chris Golding example. Someone I play with on the Gold Coast, an elite scorer, funny guy, went to Melbourne and kind of had to make himself. He made himself into kind of the main man of Melbourne, obviously, as we see now, which comes with maybe a little bit of change, but in that environment when you get in there, he's not the Chris Goulding you see at Melbourne United. He's the Boomers Chris Goulding, where he is an elite passer and he talks well and he's relaxed and chilled off court and stuff like that. I think that's a representation of what that program does, because it allows people to just be themselves and not have to try and be something else they're not, or not have to try and build themselves into something. They just get to go and enjoy playing basketball with like-minded people who are also very good at basketball in their own way.
And I think that really talks to why so many people feel so differently about FIBA basketball as well.
Look, you're playing NBL 1 for Gold Coast at the moment, which we'll get to in a minute, which we're a bit sad about. but the 2 years before that, really established yourself as an absolute superstar of a state league with the Brisbane Capitals, being the MVP of the QBL in 2019, alongside Will Magne and the rest of our boys at the Caps, and then winning the QSL title last year. Now, the QBL year with Will, I was heavily involved in that, meaning I was at all the games, not playing on the court. a bit of a rowdy bunch of people that were chanting Tim Sung's name most home games.
I remember very much that group of guys.
You sound very enthused about that.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Always added some entertainment.
I'm glad, if nothing else, we bring entertainment. What do you remember about those 2 years the most with the Brisbane Caps, and what led you to choose to play for Gold Coast this year?
I loved it, every bit of it. I mean, we won, so that adds to it, but we couldn't have won and I still would have enjoyed it. And it was just, the first year was just one of those groups where, like, it sounds weird, but you never know as an NBL player when you go back into groups how they're going to accept you, because there are a lot of guys that sit there and say, oh, we don't think he's that good, or he's in the NBL, I don't know why he's in the NBL. And so some, like in past groups or past, you play oppositions, there are people that think that. And so it is, weirdly enough, sometimes a weird process fitting into a group, but there was none of that with that group. I remember rolling up to training for the first time and I didn't even train that well. And sometimes a bit of it is, I'm going to have to roll in and make an impression so people kind of understand. And I remember not even training that well, and the guys were just awesome. It was easy. They were talking about different things and how we're going to play and whatnot. And then I think my second session, I shot the absolute crap out of it. I think a few people were like, okay, yep, this will work. But it wasn't a process with that group of like, this is where I fit in, this is where I fit in. Like, oh, he's not happy, he's not playing a lot, or blah, blah. It was just like everyone was having fun, regardless if they played 1 minute, 20 minutes. They didn't play one game, but they got to play the next game. And I think that environment made that program just so much fun. And that led to us winning as well, I think. It just was a fun environment. People knew where they'd fit in. Everyone kind of had their night too. There'd be other people had their night. It probably helped. A lot of teams just doubled me all the time so I could just pass the people that were wide open. But we had fun, and I've had a lot of programs that I've played at where I've enjoyed it, but this is probably the first one other than my home association where the Capitals actually kind of felt like a home club to me. I really, really enjoyed it.
So as we mentioned, Jace, you're playing for the Gold Coast Rollers in the inaugural NBL 1 season. Along with some notable names, Anthony Petrie, Jared Eustace, Callum Dalton, who's just signed on with Melbourne today, which is pretty exciting for him. No longer a DP, he's got an actual roster spot, which is awesome. But you're on an absolute tear once again this season. Little bit of a slowish start, if we're honest, but right now averaging 24 points and 10 assists on 46% from the field, so pretty good numbers there. How have you found this competition? Because in our biased opinion, we think the North is the best conference, the most competitive. And then are there any teams or personal matchups you've got circled on your calendar coming up?
It's been good. It's been hard. Like, leaving the Capitals for the Rollers was a tough decision. because of those things I just said before, I really loved it at the Caps. I really enjoyed it. Ideally, I was just going to win the first NBL One title with the Caps last year till COVID killed everything, which it's still doing. So it didn't work out as I'd planned, but I kind of, in the back of my mind, had a feeling I might have ended up at the Gold Coast. I've had some relationships and friendships down here for a number of years. And obviously, Peach is one of my best mates. So the chance to play with him while he can still get around on the court when he's not hurt, because he's getting a bit older now, was something I really wanted to do. And I've enjoyed it. The NBL One North's tough. It's got players everywhere. And those top, I mean, you look at this year, the top 10 teams, kind of Logan have separated themselves, but everyone else is kind of, if you have a bad weekend, you can drop out of the eight. I've really enjoyed it. I definitely got off to a slow start. You could say it was a horrible start. But I think I probably didn't take into account how brutal our NBL season was, and then to try and train once and play a week later, I was just sore, to be honest. I don't really have any... I mean, it is an excuse, but I just wasn't very good. I wasn't very excited, which I normally am. And that's how I played. And so I guess I needed a few weeks to, one, establish myself in the group, because I didn't have a chance to do that. Obviously, rolling in 4 weeks into the comp. And then also just feel like I had some legs and some freshness to myself. And then since then, I've kind of, I guess, started playing a bit better, and our group started to do those things that I kind of happened at the Caps naturally, and just figuring out roles and where people fit in and things like that. And so I've really, really enjoyed it. And got to keep the streak going this weekend and keep building as we build into finals.
All right, finally, you're moving into your fourth season with the Bullets now. You've just signed a new deal with the team. Things are looking a bit different, though, this year for the Bullets with some new signings. We've got Isaiah Moss, who we actually recently interviewed. We've got Jack Salt, who's been playing for Northside Wizards, NBL One team. Along with the new players, we've got a new head coach in James Duncan coming up from Sydney. What do you already know about these guys, and what are your personal goals leading into this NBL season?
Yeah, there's a lot of changes this year. We've even got new physios, new strength people. So there has been a bit of change behind closed doors, and we've actually lost some good people, but we've gained some new fresh faces with some excitement to join. So for someone like myself, change is always a bit weird with that kind of stuff when you get so used to it in a program, but I've really enjoyed the new people, and we haven't got to see the new faces as much yet in terms of Jack and those guys, but I think they're just going to add fresh and excitement, and I think they're all excited to be in Brisbane. And I think the best thing about some of the new faces is we've still got a lot of the core guys we've had for a number of years now. And I think that, along with James coming in with fresh ideas, obviously going to be hard because Andre was such a big, important person in a lot of our playing careers and someone we really enjoyed playing for. But James, he's excited. I'm really excited to get to work with him. He seems to he learned a lot from Will Weaver, who learned a lot from Dre. So there's similar kind of things, I think, in our game, but obviously different touches to it. And I think I'm hoping with our group this year we can really, last year we were a bit away from making the finals. I'm sure of it. We would have been in the finals and really gave it a crack.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to hope this year with the group we're forming, one, we can get off to a better start because we've got a lot of similar guys. And then two, with the excitement and the fresh and the younger guys, they can hopefully jump the ball and get going. So I'm really excited, and for me, it's just I just want to reestablish myself. I felt like I let myself down a bit last year. I played through some stuff I haven't had to deal with for a number or ever really. So it was a bit of a struggle for me personally, and I probably pushed through a bit more than I probably should have. But it's not like me to sit out. So I just want to get back to being healthy and playing good basketball, and just establish myself as one of the better Australian point guards / guards in the league. And I think me doing that will go a long way to us doing really well.
Yeah, and you mentioned you haven't seen a lot of Salt and the new signings, but you're not going to have to wait very long because you're up against Jack and Macca on Sunday at the Wizards. So, guess you don't have to wait long to see him.
I remember Jack from about I think it might have been after his first year of college or right before he left. Maybe it was his first year. I was in New Zealand playing in the off-season. He trained with us because he was at home in Auckland that off-season. And I remember really loving running off his screens but hating getting around him. So I might have to ask the big fella to just watch out for me on Sunday so he doesn't hurt me.
Oh, he's a big
He's a big, strong boy. It sure is.
All right, Jace. Well, that brings us to the end of our formal questions, all the serious stuff. We do like to finish off the show with some quick fire questions where you don't have to think a whole lot. Just try and give us quick answers to these questions.
Righto. Let's see how I go.
All right. Do you have any hobbies outside of hoops?
Obviously, like most people, love a bit of PlayStation or just gaming. I've got my young fella at the moment. He's almost two in September, so a lot of time spent with him shooting hoops, actually, because he loves it.
Love it.
Very good. Your first pair of kicks, and Mel's going to be upset because I'm pretty sure I know what your favourite type of kicks are because I see you wear them all the time. But if you remember your first pair of shoes and your favourite basketball shoes, what are they?
I think my first pair might have been Air Ones.
Love it.
The Tai Chis?
Because I might have been. I don't fully remember. But I had Air Ones early because they were doing stuff with the NBL and obviously my dad was involved, so I was getting some kicks. And so I'm pretty sure they were Air Ones. And then I also had a pair in under 12s of the KGs that had a zipper.
Oh.
I loved them. They had like, they were shiny around the back. They were incredible. They're just a shoe I've never forgot. And then, yeah, my favourites are definitely the Kobe 4s or 6s.
You had me if right up until Kobe.
if I could wear them too for the rest of my life, I would happily do that.
Yeah, I remember your Caps QBL season. It was the draft days I remember seeing a lot of.
Yeah, I wore them a lot that year. I had a heap of fours to rotate. I've still got a couple, but they're really struggling at the moment, so I can't really wear them that much.
Yeah, that's the problem I tell everyone is I would have so much money's worth of Kobe's if I didn't play in them all, but they're all
100%.
Right. There's lots of other great shoes out there, guys.
Nah. Just not better, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Agree to disagree. That's fine. you're obviously, you know, pretty high-level player in Australia, but who do you follow? Do you have any favourite teams that you like to watch or follow and or players?
Yeah, a few. I've been a Lakers fan for a long time. I went over when I was, basically the quick story to that is I went over when I was younger with my dad. We went to like San Antonio, Minnesota, the Lakers, all different places that dad knew people, seen training sessions and all kinds of things. And so at the time they had Kobe and Shaq and I just left there amazed with the Lakers. I loved it. And so you probably don't like this story either because I'm a Kobe fan. So Kobe was someone he had 60 the night I was there, so it was hard to not love him.
Yep.
And so, yeah, the Lakers and Kobe, although I'm not sure about the trade they made today, but anyway, that's going to take some feeling out for me. But I also grew up like a Razorbacks person. My dad was a CEO, so growing up I loved John Riley, Derek Rucker, Sammy McKinnon, just James Harvey, guys that played for them. I'd seen them every day. I was basically thought I was a Razorback, so... I had a massive following for people like that played there.
Yeah, nice. And just to clarify, half of this podcast are Kobe fanatics. So my half of the couch loves that story. Happy.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I know I'm in the minority, but if you're going to go for a time to go and watch the Lakers, Kobe and Shaq,
I was 12. I think I was about 12 or 13. I mean, I didn't know much about the NBA back then, really. We didn't get as much when I was younger anyway than what you get now. And so for me, I was in Jerry Buss's office with all the trophies. I didn't even get a photo. That's how naive of the NBA I was.
That also speaks to a simpler time, though, too. That's
100%. I'd say it's a good time.
Yeah.
But
there was me walking around the Staples Center getting a photo with every statue out there.
But if I went back now, I'd be getting photos because you've got to put on Instagram, right? Or you didn't go there. So,
nowadays, if you don't get photos, it didn't happen.
Exactly. But it's a memory that's ever been stuck in my head, and I absolutely loved it and left there. I left there a fan. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, for real.
As a 12-year-old, it'd be hard not to.
Yeah.
Next question. What is high rotation on Spotify for you right now?
I don't actually use Spotify. I'm an Apple guy.
All right. Yep. We'll get the sponsors right.
But I've got a mix. I do listen to some newer songs often, but I love my old school Avicii stuff and things like that. So I've had levels in the top of my playlist since whenever that came out. But nice. So I've got a lot of those kind of songs like Avicii and Calvin Harris and guys like that often find their way into my songs on the way to a game.
Yeah, into like the house and electro. Cool.
Nice. Bit of everything, but that always finds its way kind of, I can't help myself.
No, it's nice to actually hear some songs I've heard of. It's great. doesn't have to be basketball, but what's your favorite movie?
Ooh, probably the Batman series or the Transformers.
Nice.
All right.
Just those three kind of movies. Although when Megan Fox left, it made it hard for me. But two series of movies.
Our wives listen to this.
Hey, it's all good. We're all human. Those two sets of movies I really enjoyed. And they're the classic, like you see it's on and you end up sitting and watching it again.
Mm.
Yeah, even with ads.
Especially the Joker one. The Joker one and the Bane one, they were elite.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember I travelled to America about 2 months before COVID hit. And I'd had a big day lined up the next day, but I got back to the hotel around 11 and Dark Knight Rises was on, the one with Bane, and thought, well, I'm not going to bed.
No, and I just laid up and watched it. Yeah.
So, yeah, regretted the next day.
I think we actually went to watch the premiere on the road in we were in Perth or somewhere, and our whole team went. Nice. And the place was packed. It was the first movie I think I'd been to where it was kind of like the first or second day coming out. People were like clapping, cheering, like thought I was actually at Gotham City the way people were acting. It was crazy.
All right.
It was good fun though.
Our next question is double-edged sword here. So your favorite gym exercise along with your favorite cheat meal?
Jeez. Not a big gym guy.
Yeah, we always favorite find people struggle with
shooting jump shots.
Okay.
Oh, you'd have to go in the gym, the buys and tries. Everyone loves those. People can act like they don't, but they all love getting buys and tries.
yeah, for sure.
And then my favorite cheat meal. Oh, it's hard to go past just a good old KFC feed or something like that.
Yes.
Just when, you know, just you get it in your moment when your body just really just like, oh, what do I want to eat? Yeah, I'll get the Colonel. And it's very rare, but it just seems to always hit the right spot.
Loving your answers, except for the Kobe Lakers stuff. It's going really well.
Are you a Celtics guy?
Good guess, he is.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought so. I was just making sure.
Unfortunately or fortunately, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen nowadays a lot of players will use a quote as motivation or maybe just, you know, have a favorite quote. Do you have a favorite quote that you either use for motivation or just, you know, like the sound of?
Not really, not so much. But there are things along the way that like people have said that have kind of stuck with me. There's a guy named Barry Barnes who coached Australia at many Olympics, I think, mm-hmm. even coached my dad. And when I was at AAS, he always used to say, if it's not up, it's not in. And that's something I've always – he watched me play in a game. I didn't shoot many shots. He said that to me after. And I've always remembered that. And then another one someone always said to me is just, it is what it is and will be what it will be. And I kind of always – it's another thing that's just kind of always stuck with me that sometimes you just – you can't help what's going on. You just got to keep going with it. I mean, we're all dealing with that at the moment, I guess. That's it is what it is. It really represents where we're at in the world right now.
Oh, I like it.
Especially Australia.
Two down to earth ones.
Yeah, and just worry about what's in your control. Yeah, I love that.
Pretty much, because that's all you can do in a lot of situations. There's some things you can obviously always change or do that will help the situation or whatever, but sometimes it's just a matter of kind of putting your head down and getting through it and coming out the other side for the better.
All right, we're down to our final two questions here. Second to last, do you have any specific game day routines, meals, superstitions, anything that has to be the same every game day?
I've actually tried to get away from it because when I was younger, I was horrible with it, and I figured that it does not matter what pair of outfits you wear each game. It has no representation on how you play. But I,
as long as they're clean, I suppose.
Yeah, as long as they're clean. But I do find myself, I'm always a big, some people have to like can just shower in the morning and that's them, but I always, before I leave, even if like, some days we have shoot around, so I shower before shoot around, after shoot around, and then I'll shower again before we leave for games. So I always shower right before I leave, which most people say at least you're clean, but I know there are that just shower during the day and that's their shower. So that, and then sometimes I will, if I do play well, I will try and put that same song on that I was listening to right before I got to the stadium. But once again, I've found that has no impact on how I play basketball.
There you go, heard it here first.
Yeah, and of course with the jocks, they're step one, aren't they?
They are. They're new. I've just started wearing step one. They've been kind enough to send me out some. And I was telling the boys last night at the Gold Coast, because obviously when you do stuff with a brand, there's Instagram, all your boys pop up and say, oh, here you go, blah, blah, blah. But I've actually really, really enjoyed the undies. They're just really comfy. And so I'm really enjoying my partnership with Step One at the moment because it's been quite a good change in underwear for me.
Oh, mate, as someone who's built like a nugget with chunky legs, I can say they are the best undies I've ever worn.
Oh, they're so comfy, and just the feel of them. I actually got a pair. I asked them to send me, because they sent me out a bunch, and I asked them for just a pair a bit bigger for Peach to try them. Peach grabs them and goes, mate, these feel incredible. I go, yeah, wait till you put them on. Sent me a message saying, mate, these are really good. I'm going to have to get some. I was like, yeah, I told you. I wasn't lying.
All right, well, I might test how big we are, and I'll just ask Step One to send me some and see what happens.
Tag them in the thing and see their response.
Yeah, why not? All right, our final question. We'll let you go and enjoy your weekend. So your answer to this question, we'd really love your help with it. All right, so that'll make a bit of sense in a minute.
Okay.
All right, in your opinion, Jace, who should we have on this show next?
You had a few people on lately too.
Yeah, so preferably someone you could give us a little hook up with.
I know a good one for you. I think you should do Anthony Drimmick. He does a lot of different things, plays a laser gamer, things like that. I think he gets some pretty good answers from him. And he did the college route. He's had a very, very good basketball career through juniors and seniors.
Yeah, I've seen him gaming, seen he's had surgery recently, so
he has
got a bit of time on his hands to have a chat.
He sure does, and he's very good at basketball. One of the here you go, Drim's one of the best teammates I've ever had in terms of when I was at the AIS, every day I used to make sure I was on his he was on my team if I could, so because I knew that it would result in me winning that day. And so me and Drim would always wear red to training so we could beat the other team, basically. But so when Brisbane had the chance and his name popped up, I said, please, please get him. AKY also was taking him to the Gold Coast till he got hurt, had to get surgery, which has made our chances a little bit harder. But I think if we had Drim, we would have been very tough to beat.
Awesome. Yeah, well, hopefully we can set something up. We'd love to have him on the show.
Sure, I can help.
But we've absolutely loved having you on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having a chat. We really appreciate the time you've given us tonight and wish you all the best for the rest of the NBL 1 season and the upcoming NBL season.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime, I'm available.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Ball don't lie. That ball don't lie.
So there you have it, Ball Don't Lie Australia listeners. We hope that you enjoyed listening to that interview with Jason Kadee as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Had a great time with him. Thank you very much again, Jason. It was, yeah, genuinely a great basketball story sharing time that we had. It's really good.
Yeah, Mal, this doesn't happen often. Mal just seems lost for words over there. So it was a great time.
Yeah, really was. Actually, and for a Lakers fan and, you know, a Kobe fan, I don't normally get on that well with them. But, yeah.
That's now two.
No, one. Still one, buddy. Sorry.
So guys, if you did enjoy that and you enjoy our weekly show, which is now just a few days away since we've been so kind to you all to drop a little in-between mini-sode here. Mm-hmm. So we do have another very special guest coming up this week in Abby Bishop, former Opals player and Ipswich 4-star. So be on the lookout for that. Another great interview that we had, and we look forward to you listening to that. So just remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram or all your podcast providers. That's where you'll find us. Please follow, like, subscribe, hit all the buttons, every single one of them. Doesn't matter what they do, just hit all of them.
Except the pause and unsubscribe button.
Yes, don't if you've hit ones. Subscribe, don't hit again. That's bad. bad. And if you are listening out there, we have a lot of votes on these NBL 1 rounds every weekend. But not necessarily everyone's following us. So please, if you could be so kind, if you're engaging in those votes, which we love. I mean, we're getting hundreds of votes every weekend now, which is just phenomenal. Please jump on the page and chuck us a like so you can keep following for quality content like that and this interview. So we'll be back in a couple of days with our weekly pod and hear from Abby Bishop. But just remember, until then, men lie, women lie, but that ball don't lie.
Never does.